Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. All of it brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Right now, you can get the Dollar Shave Club Daily Essential Starter Set for just $5. DollarShaveClub.com/martini. More on that a little bit later. Jim, let's begin with our good martini, of course. And the way things work, of course, in our media is that if a school shooter kills a lot of people, well, then that becomes headlines for days. If he's stopped and no one is killed, then very few people actually find out about it. But it's still great news, and this should be given a lot more attention than it is. ABC News, an Illinois school resource officer stopped an armed teenager at a high school Wednesday morning, according to the local police chief, who applauded the officer for saving countless lives. Now, this took place at Dixon High School in Dixon, Illinois. If that rings a bell, that's where Ronald Reagan grew up. When the 19-year-old suspect fired several shots near a gym at Dixon High School, the school resource officer reported the incident to authorities and then confronted the gunman, Dixon Police Chief Stephen Howell said at a news conference. When confronted, the suspect, a former student at Dixon High School, started running away and the officer pursued him. The suspect shot several rounds at the officer, and the officer then returned fire, hitting the gunman. The gunman is in the hospital with what are considered non-life-threatening wounds. The school resource officer's name is Mark Dallas. He is a hero, Jim, and this should be making headlines.
Yeah. Look, I understand that, you know, you're going to have more intense coverage when there's a horrific school shooting. The old saying, you know, they don't write stories every time an airplane lands safely. But look, considering the, you know, saturation point of coverage we had of school shootings not that long ago, this would seem like a relevant example. And for the debate about arming teachers and oatmeal, a good portion of the debate treated it as if this was the most nutty thing in the whole wide world. Now, in this case, it's a school resource officer. It's a police officer. It's not a teacher. By the way, I hope Broward County is taking notes on this, because that's what we'd like to see from school resource officers. Instead of taking a safe position behind a pillar and waiting for backup to establish a perimeter, instead of confronting the gunman. This kind of demonstrates, you know, it's people say it's a cliche, but it is accurate. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Ideally, in every case, it would be a trained police officer, but some schools won't have police officers on campus at the right place at the right time. So maybe you're going to need other ones. It just seems like this sort of a situation where someone intervenes and prevents a loss of life, is able to stop things before you have another national tragedy, seems like it deserves some consideration and some discussion. And I don't, you know, this was a potential school shooting, generated a lot of attention. And then once it was, okay, no, it's resolved and there wasn't a terrible loss of life, the media seemed to lose all interest in it. But to me, if you want to talk about school safety, you need to study what works, not just what has failed to work in the past.
Absolutely right. And let's hope that Mark Dallas is a name that becomes as well known as some of these people who have emerged from Parkland. Maybe he's got some good advice for the Scott Petersons of the world. Scott Peterson apparently making over $8,000 a month in his pension now, Jim.
Yeah, that's pretty astounding and irritating. I saw a tweet and it was, you know, it's a cynical perspective. I wish it wasn't accurate. Greg, I'm sure the Parkland kids will get right on that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there are some locals who are, you know, spitting mad about this and objecting to the city council and the county administrators, and they should be. You can get rid of that pension if there is for cause, meaning some sort of criminal activity. People are pointing out that shameful cowardice when you've sworn to protect people is not necessarily criminal. Having said that, I do kind of wonder if at some point, I don't know whether he can be sued for breach of contract or whether there's some other action that can be taken so that the taxpayers are not, you know, on the hook for a seemingly wildly generous pension to a guy who failed when it mattered most.
Yeah, the father of one of the girls killed at Parkland is suing him. I don't know about the strength of his legal argument, but he's one of the ones who wanted to beef up security at the schools. He's not one of the gun grabbers in reaction to Parkland. So we'll see what happens on this debate from here. Jim, let's move to our bad martini now. And it's fascinating to watch the president go after the media. Sometimes he's got a good point. Sometimes he doesn't have a good point. And sometimes the media just throws the story directly into his lap. I don't know if the president's actually responded to this yet. But yesterday, President Trump at the White House holding a meeting with law enforcement officials and immigration enforcement officials, talking about some of the various challenges going on. And one of the people there was a female sheriff from California who's very frustrated about the sanctuary city policy in the state of California. However, as the media reported President Trump's response to her at the meeting, no context was given. The only thing that most major media outlets were letting people hear was this about illegal immigration.
We have people coming into the country, or trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals. And we're taking them out of the country at a level and at a rate that's never happened before.
Well, with that clip making the rounds, you had people like Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC saying, who said this, Hitler or Trump? You had officials at the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, saying these are animals, and then put pictures of, very tiny children who have been attempting to enter the country illegally, where their parents are, really. And so, of course, President Trump is once again being branded as a xenophobe and as a racist. But then other people actually bothered to dig up the full video. And here is more of the conversation, starting with this sheriff once again being frustrated that, according to California policy, ICE can't go into the jails and go after some of these illegals like they had in the past.
They cannot come in and talk to people in our jail unless they reach a certain threshold. They can't do all kinds of things that other law enforcement agencies can do. And it's really put us in a very
disgrace,
bad position.
Okay? It's
a disgrace.
And we're suing on that, and we're working hard, and I think it'll all come together. Because people want it to come together. It's so ridiculous. The concept that we're even talking about is so ridiculous. We'll take care of it, Marco.
Thank you. There could be an MS-13 gang member I know about. If they don't reach a certain threshold, I cannot tell ICE about them.
Yeah. We have people coming into the country, or trying to come in. We're stopping a lot of them. But we're taking people out of the country. You wouldn't believe how bad these people are. These aren't people. These are animals. And we're taking them out of the country at a level and at a rate that's never happened before.
Well, Jim, that makes it sound a whole lot different. I mean, this is a term, animals, that he's used for MS-13 in the past. So what do you make of the media here? Is this laziness or deliberate misdirection?
I'm sure many listeners, Greg, are noticing that Freudian slip, the MSNBC 13, terrible menacing street gang, Lawrence O'Donnell, one of their nefarious leaders. Look, there are a lot of times Trump's mouth has gotten himself in trouble. Going back to when he launched his campaign and said that Mexico was sending rapists here. Like, no two ways about it. Trump talks about immigration in an incendiary way, and he's not the most precise speaker. And you can wonder whether this is just a reflection of his thinking and his own kind of verbal imprecision and slipperiness, that he starts denouncing people who I think everyone would universally agree deserve denouncing, like violent gang members of the likes of MS-13. And it's not clear whether he's speaking about all illegal immigrants when he talks this way, or whether he's talking about all immigrants this way. But in this case, considering how he's responding to what the sheriff had just said about an MS-13 member, I don't think you can fairly say that he's talking about all illegal immigrants or all deported illegal immigrants, or in the case of the Huffington Post, that Trump had said that about immigrants. Let's remember, he's married to an immigrant. He married two, all right? That's kind of an unusual position for a guy who allegedly hates immigrants. But again, I also kind of feel like there was a quote from John J. Harwood of the Wall Street Journal earlier today, which I think kind of encapsulates one principled position, although I'm not so sure Harwood actually means what he says, where he basically said, look, even MS-13 members are human beings. Yeah, biologically, technically, but let's have no illusions about MS-13, Greg. I mean, this is a group whose motto is kill, rape, control. They are very involved in sex trafficking, forcing underage girls who are trying to come into this country, forcing them into prostitution. They're violent, of course, but they don't just merely kill people. A lot of gangs kill people or shoot people. MS-13 really loves to abduct people, stab the hell out of them. I mean, like 50 times, 100 times, 150 times. And then they generally leave the bodies in some sort of way, in a very public manner, that is meant to intimidate everybody else. In some cases, not far from elementary schools, right? They want everyone to be terrified of them. To advance in the group, you have to kill members of rival gangs. And the other thing, which I aspect I didn't know nearly as much until I started digging into this, is that, you know, some members of them are literally Satanists, right? A horrible court case down in Texas where one of the members said that he justified his murders by claiming the devil wanted a soul. This is the worst of humanity. So if you want to say no human being should be called an animal, okay. If you want to say that no human being should be seen as less than a human being, no human being should be seen as anything less than a person, as John J. Harwood seems to be suggesting in his tweet argument. Greg, I don't know about you, but I'm sure the pro-lifers will be wonderful, find this a wonderful argument to see. Those who've been opposed to euthanasia and the arguments that those who have terminal illness aren't really living or don't really want to live or something like that. And of course, those with disabilities, those who've been aborting, those with Down syndrome over in Europe. I'm glad to see Harwood's jumping on board against this philosophy. But no, it's somehow the MS-13 members who were supposed to not dehumanize. And you know, honestly, Greg, I'm not that worried about dehumanizing MS-13 gang members. I think they've kind of done it themselves. Call me cruel, call me heartless, call me unchristian. I have a finite amount of sympathy in my heart for people who face the perception of being dehumanized, and MS-13 just isn't on it. People say, oh, the comparison, this is what Hitler did. You know, once you start contending that people aren't really human, yeah, you could say this is eliminationist rhetoric, right? When you say you don't really want to punish people, rebuke people, you want to eliminate people. But Greg, don't we really want to eliminate MS-13? I mean, yes. Maybe not kill every last one of them, but to either kill them or bring them to justice and put them behind bars for the rest of their lives, or deport them and let the other country's legal authorities deal with. Like, whether or not we want to eliminate these human beings, there are a lot of times President Trump will say things that are crude, obnoxious, inappropriate, incendiary, disgusting, and stuff like that. But this really isn't one of them. And the fact that so many media jumped on this almost in uniform, almost in lockstep, makes people suspect that this is that the media no longer feels a need to cover Trump accurately, that they really love the narrative that they've created about, you know, big bad Trump and how terrible he is to immigrants. And they're willing to overlook, you know, contrary facts to do so. And my suspicion is this makes the Trump supporters just dig in even harder. And also, I think, you know, journalists do themselves a disservice when they, you know, jump onto a narrative like this without checking and saying, well, wait, what was really Trump really saying about it? It's not a precise when he's speaking, but because he's responding to a comment about MS-13 and he's talking about how terrible they are, I think it's safer to say he's talking about MS-13 than Manuel the busboy who's working in the back room of your favorite restaurant.
It's just amazing how this blurring of the lines goes. It's one thing, we've been talking about this for a long time, of how the left likes to blur the line between legal and illegal immigrants. And so if you're opposed to illegal immigration, you hate immigrants. Now they've blurred the line even further to the left, where if you're opposed to vicious criminal illegal immigrants, you're somehow hateful of immigrants. So I don't know where this blurring of the line stops, but hopefully the media gets its message here.
Media on this, give Trump this one. Just let it go. Pretend you're Elsa. Just let it go.
Oh, my daughters would love that. Jim, let's talk about ways for the media to clean up its act, but there's also a way for all of us to clean up our act every morning, and that's with the Dollar Shave Club, not just with the razor and the shave butter, but with their wonderful line of grooming products. They've got the lotion, they've got the shower gel, they've got the shampoo, they've got the One Wipe Charlies. I mean, you really can take care of yourself in the morning with everything from Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. And here's the two things you need to remember. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to get ready in the bathroom, and they have much more than just razors.
Dollar Shave Club, yes, that Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. And you name it, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toothpaste, hair gel, even a wipe that will leave your hindquarters feeling tingly clean. I'm a big fan of their Ember and Lavender Calming Body Cleanser. Never smelled anything like it, and good luck finding a product that great at the store. All of Dollar Shave Club's products are made with top shelf ingredients that won't break your budget. You will feel the difference, and shipping is free with your membership.
And here is a great way to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products. For just $5, you can get their Daily Essentials Starter Set. It comes with Body Cleanser, One Wipe Charlies, those are the amazing butt wipes, their world-famous shave butter, and their best razor, the 6-Blade Executive. Keep the blades coming for a few more bucks per month, and add in shampoo, toothpaste, or anything else that you're going to need. Check it all out at dollarshaveclub.com/martini. One more time, dollarshaveclub.com/martini. And Jim, it's not our intention every day to beat up on the mainstream media, but sometimes they just deserve it. So that's where we're headed in our Crazy Martini as well. We talked about last week when the protests were happening along the Gaza-Israel border, the media trying to blame that on the U.S. moving its embassy, and then in the actual clashes themselves, blaming it on the Israelis since there were roughly 60 Palestinians killed and no Israelis seemed to be even injured. It was just a vicious repression. These poor people were just trying to get to the border after all, Jim. Well, now it turns out that we have some more facts on the ground, but the media is suspiciously quiet about all this. Ala Pundit does a great job of putting all this together over at Hot Air. First of all, he points out in various tweets that Hamas Political Bureau member Salah al-Bardawi admitted that 50 of the martyrs killed in Gaza were from Hamas. They were Hamas people, and 12 regular people were also killed. Then he has another tweet showing that a senior Hamas official admitted that this was not a peaceful resistance. It is supported by our weapons. And then he's got further tweets disputing the notion that the Israelis just made up the fact that people in Gaza were being paid to protest and got paid even more if they were injured, or their families got even more than that if somebody was killed. He shows tweets showing that people got $200 for being injured, $500 for being severely injured, and the families of the dead get $3,000. And he points out that even when Hamas admits what it's done, the media is still peddling their version of the story.
Yeah, Greg, I kind of am in that situation where you feel like half the time the media response to a Hamas statement is, oh, you don't mean that. You don't really consider yourself to be a militia. You're protesters. You're mostly peaceful protesters. I keep seeing that phrase, and it's, you know, mostly peaceful protesters sounds a little bit like being a little bit pregnant. If you're mostly peaceful means at least a little bit violent. If you're a little bit violent, people are going to respond. When they say, you know, 50 of the 62 were Hamas, like, well, okay, this means, you know, it's not the Israelis beating up on the Palestinians. This is beating up on Hamas. And your various little questions never quite get to be the focus of this. There was a good amount of coverage of an infant, a baby that was killed in the violence earlier in the week. And you go, oh my goodness, can you believe this? The innocent are suffering. And again, this is not deep in the heart of the Gaza Strip. This is not in the heart of the West Bank. This is right by the border of Israel, a place where you have to go, travel to, and which the Israeli has dropped leaflets and have been very, very clear. 300 yards and you're armed, they're opening fire. 100 yards, they don't care whether you're armed, they're opening fire. Why are you bringing an infant to this? Most parents, we don't want to let our kids go out without bike helmets on, much less bring them to a situation where we know live fire is going to occur, right? At that point, you are basically saying, I love my cause of Palestine and fighting Israel more than I love my children. My children can do more as a symbol for our cause dead than they can do for their communities alive. And I think that's a philosophy that just most people in the West, and I would hope most people around the world, would find alien and strange and just incomprehensible. And yet the reaction to this is just, it seems like endless sympathy towards the Palestinians. And I kind of ask, you know, at what point do they get held responsible for their own decisions, their own actions, and how they've treated the situation? Yes, life stinks in the Gaza Strip. They have one problem after another, and basic human needs are not taken care of. Is Israel a factor? Okay, yeah, you know, they've put a blockade. It makes, you know, it's not like it's very easy to trade with the Gaza Strip. On the other hand, it's not like there's much that the residents of the Gaza Strip are doing to improve their lives, and certainly not Hamas is doing much to improve their lives. You know, no one's making them buy rockets instead of a desalinization plant or water purification plant or any of this other needed infrastructure they have, electricity, all of these basics to live their lives. And they've decided that they've decided to put enormous amounts of energy into this weekly ritual of running up against the Israeli border, where the Israelis have told them they will shoot if you come close, and they want to see what happens. Well, surprise, surprise, the Israelis shoot and people die. It is a maddening process, and the willful blindness of so many folks in the Western media is even more maddening. But hey, at least it's Friday, right, Greg? I don't want to bash the media on every one of these martinis, but you know, They do this week after week, day after day, glaring after glaring. It's just too big to ignore. And I, you know, why are some of these issues so persistent, so difficult? So there's so much anger around them. Well, I think in part because how they're covered. And, you know, people say, oh, we're so divided as a country. We don't just have two viewpoints. We have two sets of facts. Well, one set of facts is wrong, right? If you see Hamas as victims, you're wrong. that that's not, that might be how they see themselves. That might be what they're, actually, it's not even how they see themselves. It's not whether, you know, when they're openly saying, no, this is an armed resistance. Like, now you're just being willfully blind to how they see themselves, because you have this narrative in your head of Israel being this colonialist oppressor and these poor Palestinians who keep being, you know, oppressed and stepped upon. What we mentioned earlier about the gun debate, what we mentioned with Trump and his comment about immigration and MS-13, like, could Trump have spoken a little more clearly? Sure, but it's no reason to say, oh, he hates immigrants when he's, you know, furiously denouncing MS-13. And, you know, of all the words he could have used, animals isn't the worst he could have used. I think some people have said, okay, it's an insult to animals because animals don't do what MS-13 does.
Jim, enjoy the day. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget to visit our good friends over at Dollar Shave Club. And for just $5, get that Daily Essentials starter set, dollarshaveclub.com/martini. And tune in again Friday, and it really will be Friday then, for the next 3 Martini Lunch.